I want to call your attention to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14, and our text is verse 6. John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And may God bless the reading of His Word and the preaching of it. This is the sixth of seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. These may be about the second most familiar words of the Gospel of John. I suppose chapter 3, verse 16 would be the most familiar. These are certainly a close runner-up. But I'm afraid that these are some very ignored words nonetheless. They are all simple words, but very profound. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. These are all single syllable words in our translation, except for a couple that are two syllables. It's a very simple statement, but the truth here is so profound we never reach the bottom. J.C. Ryle, commenting on these words, said, he that attempts to unfold them does little more than scratch the surface of a rich soil. We know that these words were spoken in response to a question. And the question is raised by Thomas, one of the 12, in the previous verse. Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And of course, Thomas's question there is following upon what our Lord had said here to the disciples in the upper room. And we'll begin here in chapter 13 and verse 31, where we read, therefore, when he was gone out, that is, when Judas had left, and it was just now the 11 disciples with the Lord in the upper room, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you. The Lord discloses to the 11 in the upper room here his departure. He would be departing to the death of the cross, and then beyond that, after his resurrection, and after 40 days, departing to the Father in heaven, he would be leaving them on this earth. This was troublesome to the disciples. And we see not just Thomas, but first Peter questioning the Lord about this in verse 36 of chapter 13. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And so Peter's confused about when Christ is going, where Christ is going. Why can't I go with you? Our Lord then speaks more about it here in verse 2 of chapter 14. I go to prepare a place for you, he says. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. They should have known. If they had been listening more carefully to his teaching over the years, they would know more than they presently knew. And so it is in this context that Thomas says, Lord, we don't know. Lord, you're assuming that we know, and we don't know. Tell us where you're going, and how can we go there too? How can we follow you? And though we know Thomas as, you know, maybe one of the weakest of the disciples and the one who's the doubter and the pessimist and so on, we always appreciate his honesty. It was in response to the honesty of Thomas that our Lord gives what is undoubtedly one of the greatest statements in the Word of God, one of these great I ams of the Gospel of John. And so Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's as if the Lord says, Thomas, Peter, all of you, there's no need for confusion about this. I'll tell you where I'm going. I'm going to my Father in heaven. He speaks there in verse 6 of coming unto the Father. That's my destination. And I am the way for you to go to him. If you want to follow me, then you must come through me, by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the mediator who brings unworthy sinners into fellowship with God and ultimately into God's very presence for all, forever and ever. And so as we look at this statement by our Lord, let us at least make some endeavor to scratch the surface of the rich soil. And I'm sure that's all that we'll do. But it's a verse that sort of outlines itself into these four parts. Number one, I'm the way. Number two, I'm the truth. Number three, I'm the life. And then number four, no man comes unto the Father but by me. So, first of all, Jesus says, I'm the way. I'm the way. The implication, of course, is that we are naturally out of the way. We are naturally lost. We're naturally in our sinful state on the wrong way, wandering like lost sheep, wandering in paths of sin and disobedience against God. As the proverb says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. We don't know where we're going. We have no good destiny. Following our own path, we are sure to end in death. And the Lord Jesus speaks of that in the Sermon on the Mount in these words. Broad or wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. It leads to destruction. It leads to death. This is what our own way is like. But the good news that Christ gives here is that he is the way. There is a way to God. And that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. He, in the words of Peter later on brings us to God. And that's a beautiful parallel to this statement by our Lord. I am the way. In 1 Peter 3, we read, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." He is the bringer. He is the reconciler. He is the one who restores the fellowship with God that was lost by Adam in Genesis chapter 3. He brings us to God. He is our mediator. That's what a mediator does. He reconciles the parties that are at odds with each other. I am the way. Jesus does not say, "I show the way. I will lead you to the way. I will teach you about the way." He says, "I am the way." Now, the best that earthly philosophers and founders of religions and founders of cults can say is, "I will show you the way. I will direct you to the way." And they all say that one way or another. None of them can truly say what Jesus says here: "I am the way." Come to God, he says, by me, or through me. He is the way. This statement, "I am the way," corresponds somewhat to one of the I ams that we've already considered. There's some overlap here in all of these, really, that we'll look at here today. When he said back in chapter 10, "I am the door," that at least is a similar type of figure to "I am the way." He is the access, the entry, the conductor to God. In so doing, he fulfills the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah 35:8. Where it says, "A highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein." Christ is the personification of that prophecy. He is the way upon which we go to find access to God, to find eternal life, to find heaven at last, the way of holiness. He is the way. In terms of Hebrews 10, Christ is the new and living way by which we enter into the holiest by his blood. I am the way. Secondly, he says, "I'm the truth." The implication here is that we are naturally deceived. We're naturally listening to lies and deceptions. We are naturally following the lies of the father of lies, who is the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. He turned against the truth, became the liar, the deceiver, has some kind of a substitute lie for every truth of God. He abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And that's who we are naturally following. We're following the liar. And on our own, we will never find the truth. We need he who is the truth to reveal himself unto us. And this is the good news of our text. He says, I am the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ never deceives. What he says is always true. He is trustworthy. You can depend on everything that he says. You can't believe a word that Satan says. You can believe every word that Jesus says. He's the truth. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is the revealer of God to man. He's the truth as contrasted with lies and deception. He's also the truth in another sense as contrasted with the types and shadows of the Old Testament that came beforehand. These ceremonies and shadows of the Old Testament worship all pointed to him. He is the object that cast these shadows, we might say, in the Old Testament times. These were figures of the true, as Hebrews puts it. And so there's a sense in which the types and shadows point to the truth. Christ is that truth. He's the real thing. And it is in that sense that we should take this familiar statement in John chapter 1. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The contrast is not that Moses gave that which was not true. It is that Moses was a type and a shadow. Christ is the real thing. He's the truth in that sense. He's the fulfillment of the Old Testament shadows. I am the truth. Now, again, it's interesting to consider what Jesus did not say. He didn't say, I point to the truth. He himself is the personification of truth. He says, I am the truth. He's not just a teacher, though he is certainly a teacher. He's not just a teacher. He's the curriculum. He's the truth. The best that modern intellectuals can offer is relativism, uncertainty, doubt, the unending search for truth. Well, once you find Christ, your search is over. You found the truth. Our Lord speaks here in absolute terms, not relative terms. There is such a thing as absolute truth. And Jesus Christ is it. I am the truth. Whoever spoke so boldly as that? These brilliant philosophers of today who are in the unending search for truth, they never come out and say, I'm the truth. And if they did, no one would believe him or take him seriously. Jesus says, I'm the truth. And because of who he is as the incarnate Son of God, it is true. And we must believe it. And we must believe him. He is the truth. This statement corresponds in some ways to a previous I am statement in chapter 8 that we've already considered, where he says, I am the light of the world. And light there, figuratively speaking, speaks of illumination, knowledge, instruction, understanding. And this is in a similar vein here. I'm the truth. Before long, a scoffing Pontius Pilate would ask him over in chapter 18, What is truth? Let me read these couple of verses here. Jesus says, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" You know, the relativism and uncertainty of today is nothing new. Pontius Pilate was in that same sad predicament. What is truth? Is there such a thing as truth? Who knows what truth is? And that is so ironic, of course, because the one of whom he asked this question is the truth. The truth was standing right in front of him. And he says, "What is truth?" He didn't recognize the truth. Truth personified was right there in his courtroom. And Pilate was blind to him. None so blind as those who refuse to see. I'm the truth. And then thirdly, I'm the life. We have already seen last Lord's Day, in fact, in chapter 11, where he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And so we've already seen this very much in a parallel way. Even earlier in chapter 6, this was the very first one, I believe. "I am the bread of life." But let me just say a few more words about it here in this passage. The implication is that without him, we're dead. We're dead in our sins. We're dead to God. We're at a distance from God, estranged from him. We're pursuing a course that ends in eternal death. There is a way, the proverb says, which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are what? The ways of death. And that proverb is quite a parallel in a way to our text here. It speaks of a way and what the way leads to and what's at the end of that way. The way that seems right, following our own instincts and our own inclinations, that way ends in death. But this way leads to life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. This is the good news. Christ is the life. He lives. He's a living Savior. He rose from the dead after he had made an atonement for our sins. He has life in himself, as he declares back in chapter 5. And he imparts that life to those who believe in him, those whom the Father has given him, those whom the Father chose, those for whom he made an atonement, those in whom he works repentance and faith. He implants this principle of spiritual life, communion with God, knowledge of God, closeness to God. And I hate to use this term, it's so overused nowadays, but connection with God. And we'll see more about that in chapter 15, God willing, next time, where he says, "I'm the vine." That's what life is. It is to be in vital connection and union with God, who is life. Death is to be separated from him. Life is to be united to him. He speaks of this here in chapter 14, verse 19, when he says at the end, "Because I live, ye shall live also." He is the life. And in union with him, we have life. We have his life. We have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Life. And that life is in His is in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Will you indulge me just the reading of a couple of passages that we used in the previous message? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What a beautiful expression, to pass from death to life. That's new birth. That's regeneration. That's the life of God coming into the soul of man. This principle of life being implanted deep within us by His grace. He brings us into this vital fellowship with God. He expresses it this way on the same night when he prays in chapter 17 to the Father in heaven, as thou hast given him, that is the Son, power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I am the life. You notice he did not say, I talk about life, I give instruction for life, I show you how to live your life. Let me show you how to improve your life. He says, I am the life. The best that modern self-help can give, the best that modern motivational speakers can give is, let me show you how to live your best life now. And if they were honest, they would change the wording to say, let me show you how to live your best death now. Jesus is not just a popular motivational speaker. He didn't come to develop a better you and to improve the life you already have. He came to impart new life, where there is nothing but death in your soul. To know Him is to live. To know Him is to live in a dimension unknown heretofore. He is our life. That's what Paul says to the Colossians. He is our life. Our life is hidden with Him. You're familiar with those verses in Colossians chapter 2. Or as he says to the Philippians, for me to live is Christ. Now, to us, it sounds like there's a missing word or two there somewhere. There's something grammatical not quite right there. But we grasp the point, even though we don't grasp the grammar, perhaps, in our language. And that is, our life is all about Christ. It's in Christ. It's through Christ. It's because of Christ. He truly lives in us by the indwelling Holy Spirit. I am the life. Some writers see in these first, or in the first part of our text, what we might think of as the entrance and the pathway and the destination. The entrance being the way and the path or the course being the truth, we walk according to the truth, we walk in the truth, and life being what lies at the end, and there's some value perhaps in looking at it that way. Perhaps even more helpful is to see that these three terms point to Christ in his mediatorial offices as priest, the one who is the way, the one who reconciles us to God, who brings us to God. As prophet, secondly, who is the truth and the one who is the revealer of God to man. And he is thirdly our king, the one who grants and sustains and governs life. But let me hasten on here to the rest of the verse. He says, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Beloved, this is the main thing that we should be concerned about. Coming to God. How can a man come to God? How can a sinful, fallen child of Adam come to God? This is what the Christian gospel is all about. Knowing God intimately, coming to Him, being with Him forever. The basic Christian message deals with this primarily. This is the primary focus. Some people think that the basic Christian message is about improving society or Christians issuing these declarations about the political situation or the war or world events and so on. And while we are not indifferent to events in this world, our primary focus is how can a man come to God? How can I be reconciled to Him? How can I know that He is my God, that I am His child? And here's the answer. We come to God through Christ. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God's way to bring us to Himself is Christ. Christ is the way. Redemption is God's initiative. It is God's action. It is God reaching down and bringing us to Himself. We come to Him through Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. We are not blazing our own trail to God. We are not making our own way to God. It's the other way around. He has made the way to us. And that way is His Son, our mediator. Christ is the way. We are not determining our own truth. That's the big rage today, isn't it? Well, I have my truth. And it doesn't matter if I'm the only one that believes it. It's true for me. It's my truth. No, we are not left to determine our own truth. Jesus is the truth. And we are not living our best life now. That's not the good news. The good news is Christ is the life. The Word of God, the declarations of the Lord Jesus Christ here in our text, are counter to our natural way of thinking always. They are countercultural. They are counter-religious. If you listen to the natural religiosity of man. We are not left to my way and my truth and my life. His way, His truth, His life. It's all in Christ. And beloved, any other way to God is false. Any other way to God is certain to end in death rather than life. Listen to this loud note of exclusivity here. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no other way. There's no alternative truth. There's no life outside of Christ. No eternal life. No heaven outside of Him. And our English translation accurately gives the definite article three times over. The way, the truth, the life. There's no uncertainty. There's no ambiguity. There's no other options. He doesn't say, I'm one of the ways to God. It's there's no other way. He's the one and only way. And those who tell us that there are other mediators are telling us a lie. Those who say that Mary is a mediatress are telling a lie. She's not the way. She's not the truth. She's not the life. Those who think that they pray through saints and that they have access to God through Peter and others who have gone before and they pray in the name of Peter and pray to Peter and a host of others are, it's worse than futile. It's a blasphemous denial of our text and of the all-sufficiency of Christ. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you want to come to God, there's only one way. You've got to come through Christ. And we pray in His name. And we plead His merits. And He is our priest. And He is our mediator. And He's the only one we need. And He's the only one that is available. No man comes to the Father but by me. Here our Lord exposes the error not only of modern religion, and well, even much ancient religion for that matter, but the modern thinking of pluralism that says all religions are of equal value and equal validity. There's really many ways to God. Jesus is just one way. No, you can't believe the Word of God and embrace that pluralistic mentality. Our Lord exposes what we sometimes call syncretism, which says, well, we'll put all of the religions on the table and we'll take the best of them all and formulate this new religion. And Jesus is included. He had some good things to say. No, you can't believe the Word of God and have such a view as that. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How often do we hear people say, well, I think if anyone is sincere in their faith, in their belief system, the system itself isn't so important. What they believe doesn't really matter as long as they are really serious about it and sincere about it. No, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Our Lord makes exclusive claims here. And this exclusivity is throughout the Scripture. I read one earlier. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other Savior, no other name. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so let me hasten to a conclusion here. Do you know Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life? Do you believe on Him as the way, the truth, and the life? Do not rest until you know Him in that way. Until you know that you are among the few who have found Him. And those are the very words of our Lord Himself. And I'll close with that. I will let Him issue the instruction. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Oh, listen to what Jesus says. He says, enter in, enter in. How do you enter in? By faith in Him. By turning from your sin, repentance, trusting in Him, believing on Him as the one and only Savior to bring you to God.